We are in a series of messages for just a few weeks, on giving and as far as what the Bible has to say about it. Interestingly enough, when you look in Scripture, the Bible has a lot, actually. The Lord Jesus had a lot to say about giving. As a matter of fact, there's over 2,000 verses or 2,000 references, if you will, that where the Bible speaks about that. And today we're going to talk about giving from the heart. Giving from the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then also chapter 9. Again, I want to thank everyone that had a part in the teen conference this year. The Lord really blessed and really blessed in a mighty way and had a great turnout. Had a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers, and had several of them that professed faith in Christ, and which we're grateful for that. So, again, thank you for that. I think our workers have gotten some sleep, I believe. May have gotten a little bit of sleep, but they'll catch up here for too long. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. The Apostle Paul is writing these verses of Scripture, and he's writing to a local church. He's writing to a local church. The Bible, it's the Church of Corinth. We know it's the Church of Corinth. It's a church that's literally a local assembly. It's in the city of Corinth. And he's writing to them in the context, really, of giving. He says in verse 1 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto them the riches of their liberality." Now, you also know that we know that the church in Jerusalem, which was the first church, the church in Jerusalem, was really struggling and under persecution, and the church was just a fraction of the size that it had once been, and they were struggling. They were struggling financially, so a special offering was taken for them, and Paul is addressing that. Verse 3 says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." And you'll see that's really a crucial verse there. The Bible says, "For first gave their own selves," verse 5, "to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Look at chapter 9, verse 6. Paul says in verse 6 of chapter 9, he says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God," verse 8 of chapter 9 here, "and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the joy we have of reading it, preaching it, and Father, we thank you for the life-changing power that is found therein. We ask, God, that you'll bless our reading of your word, and Lord, we also pray today that you'll bless as we speak, and we pray, Father, that what is said and done will give you glory. We ask, God, that it will also challenge us, not only personally, but it challenges God as a church to be faithful in giving a portion of what you bless us with and being faithful, Lord, and giving because you gave all. So, Father, we love you. Father, please help us to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm aware of often the challenge, if you will, in speaking on the subject of money. I know sometimes that people, and I've had over the years, I know sometimes that, you know, sometimes people may take it the wrong way or what have you. But again, I said to you last week that God has much to say about it. The Lord Jesus has much to say about money. And I will say personally, on a personal note, the Lord Jesus has blessed me and my family tremendously. God has been very good to us, and God has given us far more than we ever imagined or could ever deserve. I'm thankful today that we serve a God that loves to bless His kids. Can I get a witness in this room? You didn't hear me. We serve a God that loves to bless His kids. The topic of money, as we said, giving and tithing, is never an easy one. It's uncomfortable for new Christians and mature Christians. It's challenging for those who have never tried it and have never tithed, and those who have been tithing for years, perhaps it's a challenge. It forces us to examine for the first time, or perhaps re-examine, our attitude toward money and possessions. From time to time, though, we need to look into God's Word, and we need God's Word to disrupt our routine so we can reevaluate our gifts and our giving, what we're actually given, and the spirit, though, of why we're doing what we're doing. Randy Alcorn, who writes about giving, he said, the Bible deals with money matters because money really does matter. There's a fundamental connection, listen to this, and I believe this. There's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about and handle our money. Jesus told us that our hearts follow our treasure, so we should invest our money wisely. There's a tangible demonstration to us and everyone around us what our treasure really is. As I preached last Sunday morning about the widow woman, the Bible, Jesus said He called her a poor widow woman. And He was observing the offering, and He was watching as the rich would come by and they would put their offering in. And then He watched that this poor widow woman came by, and she put what seemingly was insignificant, just simply two mites, which was the smallest currency of that day. And the Bible says, but when He saw that poor widow woman put her two mites in, Jesus then made an assessment of it. And He said to His disciples, He said, this poor widow woman has put in all that she had. She's put in more than all the rich people had. Why, Jesus? Because the rich people gave out of their abundance, but this woman gave all that she had. She gave out of her poverty. The thought that came to mind today, and I know sometimes when we talk about giving, you may have a thought of, what did I give? But I'm hoping to challenge your heart today, and I'm hoping to challenge my heart today. Rather than saying, what did we give today, I would ask, what did we keep? Not what we gave, but how much did we keep? You say, yeah, but pastor, you know, I mean, we can't afford to give. It's tough times, and we barely have two nickels rubbed together. But ladies and gentlemen, as we see fleshed out in this text, regardless of where we're at, is regardless if we're poor or rich, that should not matter in the context of giving. As a matter of fact, the Church of Macedonia gave out of their poverty. So what do we have to do? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to say about giving? Here's something to keep in mind in the context of our giving. Our giving demonstrates that God's grace is active in our lives. Our giving demonstrates that God's grace is active in our lives. There's two problem areas in our journey towards spiritual maturity. For many believers, those two areas are evangelism and tithing. Why are they sometimes problem areas? Until we are obedient in these areas, we will not be fulfilled, we will not be happy, we will not be mature in our Lord and know the unhindered work of the Spirit of God in our lives. You say, preacher, that's kind of a bold statement. That's kind of a very pointed statement. You're saying that we as believers in Jesus should be obedient in those to evangelism? Why, preacher? Because you know, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. If you're born again, He saved you and I to be a witness for His honor and glory. Amen? He saved you and I to be a witness for His honor and glory. I love, as Johnny Hunt says, and I sincerely mean, it's a tremendous philosophy, it's a tremendous theme thought of life, and it ought to be a challenge and a motivator. And Johnny Hunt makes a statement. He said, his desire in life is to take as many people to heaven with him as he possibly can. being a witness, telling people about Jesus, telling people that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If they repent and believe the gospel to the saving of their soul, they'll go to heaven when they die. Believing in the death, the burial, the resurrection, that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago did something for them that they could not do for themselves. Giving is a matter of the heart and not our bank account. You're aware of that, right? Notice we're going to dig into this morning. We'll say a few things about this. Notice, first of all, the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. How should we give? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 2 and 3 of 2 Corinthians 8. It gives us some little insight of how we should give. We should give willingly, and we should give joyously. We should give willingly, but we should also give joyfully. The Bible tells us in verse 2 of our text of chapter 8, Paul writes, he says, of the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He then explains it even more as far as how this giving from the heart, it was done joyously and it was done generously, joyfully and willingly, if you will. He said in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Beyond their power, beyond their ability to give. We think of the poor widow woman that we preached on last Sunday. Can you imagine being her? I was actually at an ear doctor appointment the other day, and my ear doctor asked me, he said, hey, what did you preach on Sunday? I thought, man, what a great opportunity. And I told him, I said, yeah, I preached on the poor widow woman. Jesus observed her offering, and he was intrigued, and I spoke a little bit into that. I said, you know, and a thought came to my mind, Doc. I said, here was this poor widow woman. I said, the thought that came to my mind, I shared this with the church. I said, how that, she put in all that she had. What would motivate her to put in all that she had? And I told Dr. Brandis, I said, Dr. Brandis, I said, I believe what motivated her to give all that she had was the fact that maybe she had witnessed and she had been a beneficiary, if you will, of God's blessings and God's sustaining grace in her life. How that when she lost her husband in death, she watched God provide like she could never imagine. You see, she was somebody that was able to worship God, and she was somebody that was able to give an offering into the box, knowing that God can be trusted. The Lord Jesus can be trusted. The Lord Jesus can be can take care of us. He knows how to take care of us. Very tremendous truth, very tremendous principles of Scripture. It's difficult times, and just because they're difficult days should not limit our ability, should not limit, if you will, our attitude of giving. We should give joyfully. We should give willingly. The Bible tells us the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, as we'll see in just a moment. There are several ways you can give. One writer said, is actually Paul Powell said, there are three types of givers. There's tearful givers. They are reluctant to give. There's fearful givers. They give from a sense of duty and even fear of what God might do. And then last of all, he says, there's cheerful givers. They give to the Lord, the church, and others out of a heart of joy because they have determined their treasure is not in their wealth or in this world, but in God. They give out of love for God and a heart of worship. Did you notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7? Look at the text. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 9, he says, every man according as he, notice this next statement, purposeth, look at verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And then he says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But notice that phrase, purposeth in his heart. It implies there is thought behind it. It's not an emotional response. It's an act of the will, a deliberate decision. They chose in the church here. Paul tells them, and we see it, that they chose one thing over another. They chose. They made a purposeful thing. It was a purpose. They done it. Here it is. They gave on purpose. Is there a purpose to the giving? Is there a purpose to our worship? Is there a purpose to our tithes and our offerings? There should be. We should have a purpose in our heart. The Bible says, and Paul said, as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. God, and then he talks about as far as in the context of this. You say, yeah, but pastor, I mean, I really don't believe in tithing. Preacher, I think tithing is an Old Testament principle. I disagree with you, but just for comment for a minute, let's imagine for a moment, let's just imagine that tithing is under the Old Testament law. I do not believe that, but let's just imagine that it is. So here's my question for you, sir, ma'am. If tithing is an Old Testament practice, and in the New Testament, what should we do? Well, here's my question. Should we not give more, Old Testament's law, should we not give more now that we're under grace than under the law? Even if tithing were an Old Testament practice, I believe it's supported in the New Testament. I believe tithing was instituted long before the law ever came about. What's the point? The point being, this implies, this statement in the kindness, this willful, this willingly, this joyful giver, was someone that made a purpose. They had a purpose. Did you have a purpose when you came to church this morning? Did you have a purpose when you filled out your tithing envelope? Did you have a purpose when you put in your chest of Joash offering? Did you have a purpose when you filled out your giving card as far as above your regular tithes and offerings over the next 12 months? I hope you do, and I hope you will, and I hope you have. It was not necessarily an easy decision or even the most financially prudent one. At least from a sheer accounting perspective. They were not giving from an abundance of wealth, as the writer writes. He says only from an abundance. Here it is. They were giving not from an abundance of wealth. This is it. They were giving from an abundance of joy in their lives. Did you give out of an abundance of joy today? Paul said they gave out of a great deal of affliction. They gave out of deep poverty. They did not give according to their ability. They did not give what made sense. They gave beyond their ability. When you look at the poor widow woman, she didn't give. She didn't. What she gave that day, and Jesus observed it, humanly speaking, it made no sense at all. How in the world, why in the world would you give? You're giving all that you have. Well, I believe if the Lord Jesus knows that's all I have, then he's going to step up and he's going to take care of me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he's a great God. I would challenge you to understand he's a wonderful God. So we see the attitude, but notice the amount. Notice the amount of our giving. The amount of our giving. Look at verse 6 of chapter 9. So what do we give? Notice what Jesus tells us through Paul writing to this great church. He says in verse 6 here, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. This brings my mind and heart back to my little grandmother. Big Rose, we called her. You know her. You know her vicariously through me and my stories and my sayings that I'll say of her. But my little granny loved to raise the garden. She loved to raise gardens. She had one, I kid you not, one was an acre, about an acre, one was a half acre. And we did most of it all by hand. We laid it off with a bull tongue plow with two of my cousins, myself and Timmy or Eddie, pulling it. And Big Rose would often guide the plow. And she would plant, and she would plant seeds. And as far as she'd sow seeds, she would plant the plants. We raised the garden, one garden alone, you remember? One garden had over 300 tomato plants. 300 tomato plants. Why would anybody raise 300 tomato plants when it's just me and my grandmother and my cousin Timmy in the house? Why would she do that? And so I would ask her, I said, Grandma, why in the world are you planting so much? This is crazy. She goes, well, honey, she said, people all the time are needing care packages, and we want to help people, and we want to be encouraging people. Well, when you're a teenager, you could care less about helping anybody. All you see is you see a lot of weeding, you see a lot of sweat, you see a lot of toil, right? And she used to say when the harvest would come in, we'd be ready to pick beans. She'd get up, I promise. She'd get up 5 in the morning, 4:35 in the morning, and she would go just to the crack of daylight, just enough to be able to see it, and she'd start picking it. And I remember she'd holler at me, "You need to get up, you need to help me pick these beans." And as a teenager, I would say to her, "I'll pick mine at noon. The crack of noon, I'll pick my beans." Well, you see, she understood a principle. She understood that if you sow as a gardener, as a farmer, if you sow sparingly with the seed, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. In the context of giving, the Lord Jesus says the same thing. You say, "Preacher, well, yeah, but I want..." So the question is, in the context of giving, do you want a sparing? Do you want a sparingly blessing? Or do we want a bountifully blessing? That's what we got to ask ourselves. You see, friend, you know that God isn't broke, right? You know God isn't broke, right? And you know that the Lord Jesus knows how to take care of us. He knows how to take care of us. You say, "Yeah, but Pastor, I work hard for all that I have. I work hard for every dime that I get, preacher, and it doesn't come easy." I know it doesn't come easy. But you got to understand a proper understanding of stewardship. It is the Lord Jesus. It is God alone that has given you the ability and the grace, in the context, has given you the ability and the grace to earn a paycheck. Amen? It is God alone who has given you the ability and the opportunity to make a living. And in the context of this, the amount of our giving, the New Testament measures for giving doesn't seem to be what we give, but what we keep. So the question is, what kind of blessing do we want? You see, hoarded seed yields no harvest. I literally have somewhere in my, I think I've got about a half a pound still. I think it's about a half a pound of white half runner green bean seeds. And you know what? I've had those white half runner green bean seeds for many, many years. And here's the only thing about those seeds. They're just seeds. And they're not doing me any good. They're not benefiting me. Why? Because they're not sown. So I've got them. I think I've got them in a jar somewhere in a cupboard. And I have those. And these are the kind my grandmother used to plant. My wife's already put her foot down this year. She said, "We ain't planting one half-runner bean seed." I was like, "Why ain't we planting them?" Her and Kelly are planting. She goes, "Because you have to string them." And she goes, "We're not doing it." She said, we're planting the ones, we're sowing the ones that you don't have to string." And I was like, "Well, okay, we're not going to plant half-runner seeds." So you pray for Leslie that God will deliver her from that, because half-runners are the best-tasting ones. But anyway, but those seeds that I have in my house, they're doing me no good. But here's what I do know. If you plant those seeds, if I plant those seeds, if we plant those seeds, guess what will happen? I've seen it. I've seen it over and over and over. We'll be able to reap the benefit of that. We'll be able to reap the benefit. We'll be able to take those green beans, like Big Rose used to do, put them in a pressure cooker, and she'd put a piece of salt-back bacon in there, big old piece of, and put some lard in there. You could feel, you know, my granny used to make beans and they'd have so much lard in them, you could feel your arteries clogging as you ate it. It was glorious. And you have a piece of cornbread, big old piece of cornbread and some butter on that, and had some fresh cut tomatoes and some cucumbers. Oh man, it was good. But the point is, those seeds do no good unless you sow those seeds. The context of sparingly, to give sparingly is to give from a heart that deep inside wants to hold back and hold on rather than release. To give sparingly means we are more focused on what we can keep rather than how much we can give. It ought to be a joyous occasion. Giving ought to be a joyous occasion. The attitude of our giving, the motive as far as the amount of our giving. Are we going to give sparingly or are we going to give bountifully? Here's the last thing. Notice the award. Notice the award of our giving. The Bible tells us in verse 8 through 12 now of this text. Look at this. This is really, really a blessing. In verse 8, the Bible tells us, "And God is able," underline that, right in the context of giving. He says sparingly, then he talks about bountifully, then he says in verse 7, not grudgingly. Do you grumble when you give? Do you grumble? I've noticed over the years. Hey, do you grumble? Do you get mad? Do you get mad when the preacher preaches on giving? Well, get mad at Jesus because Jesus spoke more on, I promise you this, Jesus spoke more on giving than I ever preach on giving. I promise you that. Jesus spoke more on giving than this preacher has ever spoke on giving. So Jesus, if he speaks on, you say, yeah, but preacher, why would Jesus speak on giving so much? Here's why I think he does. Because he really wants to bless us. And if he will show us through his word and he will reveal through his word the blessing of giving, it will set you free, friend. It will set you free. You see, giving has so much more than just the money that we drop in a box. It has to do with our attitude. It has to do with everything that we have, the resources that we have. What a blessing. Isn't it a joy? Isn't it a blessing to be able to give? What about giving and you see needs? You know, one of the joys that my wife and I have over the years is when we've had things or happen or maybe there's been need. I told you last week about Leslie giving her recliner away. She gave it away. We tried to take Cameron's, but we couldn't get out of his room because we knew Cameron would want us to give his away first. But anyway, she gave it for her chair. We've given cars away. I promise you, God is my witness. I'm not saying that to brag on us, but to be honest with you, as your pastor, just as an encouragement to you, as far as my salary, let's see. Our salary, I've never told you this, but in our salary, my salary check, I think we give about 25% of that away. I'm not saying that to brag. I promise you, I'm not saying that to brag. But I will tell you this. We have seen God time and time and time again bless us like you can't imagine. We've seen the Lord Jesus. We've seen God over the years give us groceries that we never asked for. We've seen God give us clothes that we never had to buy. We've seen God, as far as in our physical health, you know, help us physically. We've seen God heal. We've seen God heal our daughter. I told the church that this morning, or the Sunday school class this morning. I'm telling you, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. He will amaze you at what he'll do if you'll just be faithful in giving. If you'll just be faithful in giving. You say, I preach, you only told us what you give so you could brag on it. You don't know me. You do not know me. I promise you if you think that. But I tell you what, and you can ask Miss Leslie this, the more we, the more we give of our, as far as financially, the more we give of our time, the more we give of our resources, God provides and God blesses even more. We've seen God give food to our family in the last couple of weeks that we just stand amazed at. We truly stand amazed at what God does. He's an amazing God, the award of our giving. The Bible tells us in verses 8 through 12, and we'll finish here because all that talking about foods got me hungry, and we're going to eat here in a minute. In verse 8, the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath, look what Jesus has done. He hath, look at it, given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. In verse 12, for the administration of this servant not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You see, friend, God, in the context of our giving, God, by giving, it gives God an opportunity to enrich us with more grace in our lives. The question is, who's our provider? Who's your provider? Are you your provider? or is God your provider? I challenge you. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never really been one to commit to tithing. I've never been one to commit to tithing. And what we mean by tithing, it's the first tenth of your income. I would encourage you to give that back to God. It already belongs to the Lord. Give that back to God. And I challenge you, I mean this from all my heart, I challenge you to be faithful in that and doing that. And Jesus said in Malachi, will a man rob God? And he's asking them, will a man rob God? And then Jesus speaks to them and he says, you've robbed me. They said, wherewith hath we robbed you, Lord? And Jesus said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You've stolen, you've taken back from God. We take what belongs to God. We take it in a selfish way. But I challenge you, maybe you've never been one to commit to tithing. I challenge you as your preacher to tithe and watch what God will do with that. I challenge you to have a purpose in your giving. Be purposeful. Don't do it just out of sheer emotion. Have a purpose to it. I challenge you as your preacher to give back what God's blessed you with, just a portion. You know, and I'll be honest, I say this all the time, but I don't know that it's biblically accurate. You say, wait a minute. That got my ears perked up. I always say, give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. But here's a question for you. Are we really giving it back if it belongs to Him already? It belongs to Him already. So I challenge you to tithe. I challenge you to give. I challenge you to invest. Here's another challenge. I challenge you to invest in things that will outlast you. I challenge you to invest in things that will last for eternity. You say, preacher, what can I invest in that will last for eternity? Invest in souls. I had a young boy come up to me this morning during offering time. Get this. During offering time, one of the kids came up to me. Danny Lambert. Where's Danny Lambert? Danny Lambert back there. He come up to me and says, hey, preacher. He said, I just want to tell you. He said, I got saved this morning. He said, I got saved this morning. I said, well, bud, where did you get saved? I said, who talked to you about being saved? He said, Brother Danny in Sunday school class this morning. He said, I got saved this morning. You know what? Giving to things that will outlast you, souls. Giving and making investment in souls. Well, I promise you, it outlasts you. That's what our giving does. We give back. And I hope you know this. I know you know this. You do know that you're not giving to the preacher, right? I promise you're not. I remember I used to think, my pastor, everybody gives him all kinds of money. Well, then I became a pastor, right? You're not, I promise you're not giving to the pastor. You give to the treasure of a local New Testament church. You give to the Lord. And I promise God will bless that. Malachi, he says he will rebuke the devourer. The devourer would be ones that would destroy the crops and eat up the crops. And the Lord Jesus says, what's the principle there? Jesus says, if you'll honor me in tithes and offerings, I'll bless so that the 80, 90% so that it goes even further than it would without my blessing. You see, God is a God that can do that. He's a God that, I promise you, you can ask Little Buttercup, she'll tell you. She'll tell you over and over and over how God has taken care of us and God has blessed us. And I'll end with this statement and we'll give an invitation. We'll give it a gospel presentation, give an invitation. I mean this from all my heart. Everything that we've given in the Lord, as far as the Lord's honor and the Lord's glory, everything that we've ever given, whether it be financially, whether it be materially, whether it be you name it, we haven't missed it for one day. We haven't missed it for one day. Purposeful giving. You say, what about your kids? Our kids give. I see that our kids give. I gave them each one an envelope. I gave the Mabry boys an envelope this morning. You say, they're not even your kids. You're right, but they're in my home right now. And I want them to have the joy of giving. I want these little kids to have the joy of giving. We dropped the ball this morning. My wife and I was talking about it. She goes, oh, man. She goes, all the junior church kids, they don't have anything to put in this year. I was like, oh, man. We always have change, and we'll put in little envelopes, and we give it to the little junior church kids so they can come. The kids that ride the buses, they can come, and they can drop offerings in. You say, preacher, why are you doing that? I'll tell you why. Because I pray to God that the Lord Jesus will arrest their heart when they're young with the value and truly the blessing of giving to something that will outlast them. I want to be known as a giver, not a taker. God is my witness. I don't ever want to be known as somebody that just takes and has a spirit of entitlement. God, break us all from that spirit. God, break us all from the spirit of entitlement. We should never be someone that has a spirit of entitlement. Here's the invitation today. If you're here without Jesus, friend, here's a principle. And I close my Bible, but I've got to show you it because this is a key to the whole sermon. Look at the chapter 8 for a minute of 2 Corinthians. I've got to show you this because here's where it starts. Here's what I do know. You'll never be obedient in giving until you do this, first of all. In chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, look what Paul says about these Macedonian Christians. Verse 5, those Macedonian churches. In verse 5, he says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first," underline it, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So the first thing that they did, yes, they gave monetarily. They gave for a need. But Paul said, but first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. You see, you'll never be a giver. you'll never give with the proper attitude, the amount. You'll never have the award or the reward, if you will. You'll never do it unless you first give to God. You see, by nature, by fleshly nature, I can be a stingy person. What changed? What changed the stinginess? What changed that kind of holding on to it kind of thing? I'll tell you what changed it. Trusting Christ as my Savior. Jesus changed it. And only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can get a Baptist to let go of his wallet. I'm telling you, only Jesus can do that. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Christ your Savior. Friend, I encourage you right now to give your life to Christ. Ask God to forgive you of being a sinner and by faith believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. He'll save you if you'll trust him. If you'll place your faith and trust in him, he'll save you. Maybe you are saved. Say, "Preach, I know the Lord is my Savior. Don't have a church home, but man, we'd love to be a part of a church home." You see, I'm of the deep conviction that I think if you'll just preach the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit of God to take His Word and allow the Holy Spirit of God to take these biblical principles of giving, I think you can preach that. I do believe that God is still blessing God to add to a local New Testament church as He sees fit. Maybe Emmanuel would be a church that God is leading you to. We'd love to have you, and our doors are wide open. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray and ask God's blessings or whatever is going on in your life. Go ahead and stand with me. We will sing a verse or two of an invitational hymn. Brother Joe, are you leading us in our invitation? All right, Brother Joe Hall is going to lead us in our invitational hymn. What's your number, bud? Hymn number 306.